You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect. So we're continuing this series called I Am MC3, where we're looking at the core values of our church. I am really hot in the monitor, and I'm not being arrogant. Thank you. We're going over our core values of the church, kind of talking about who we are, why we are, and we're doing it for these 2 months. And I want to talk to you a little bit about something, and that would be how to catch a mouse. Mouse. This is what most of your mice look like. Run-of-the-mill, hat, pretty ears, shoes I think he's wearing. I don't think he's wearing any pants. Anyway, which most mice don't wear pants, so that makes sense. All right, but anyway, if you were to catch a mouse, you would, of course, get them to come right to the little cheese here and you know, get it so that you could get to this mouse. You want to attract him with cheese. And do a few other things here. You have to forgive me for a moment while I get my mouse trap all set up. So if you wanted to catch a mouse, of course, what you're going to do, and I'll just explain what's going to happen here, just in case you weren't sure what to do. First of all, you're going to crank the little knob, and when you crank the knob, it's going to turn the wheel, which is going to turn the other wheel, which is going to push the stop sign, which will kick the boot that's hanging on the light post. The boot will kick the bucket will knock out the marble that will roll down the steps into the plumbing chute gutter thing, run down there, it'll hit the helping hand, which will bump the thingamajig that will knock the marble into the bathtub will drop the marble down onto the springboard, which will launch the old man into the bucket, which will then cause the mouse cage to release and thus drop down, catching your mouse. See if it works. Here we go. Down through the thing. Oh. And we caught our mouse. Yes. Very good. So, if you happen to have these items at home, you can do the same thing to catch a mouse. If you happen to have this board game at home, I dare you to see if you have all the pieces. But anyway, this is one way to catch a mouse, or there's another way. You buy one of these. That's it. Okay? Just clarify, buy it. And you do have to turn it. This one's set. I don't want to stick my finger in there to trip it because that would be bad. But you turn the little knobby. Or get the crank. Get the wheel, turn the other wheel, hit the stop sign, knock the boot that's hanging on the light pole, kick the bucket to run down the steps into the gutter, run down here, hit the hand, helping hand, knock the thingamajig into the bowl, or into the bathtub onto the springboard to knock the old man into the bucket to bring down the mousetrap. Those are both ways to do it. Okay? All right. Good. Got that? Yes? 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 Yes. Good. Okay. Here's another thing, right? These are my keys. And right here, there's the unlock button and the lock button, and then there's the open trunk button. Watch this. Ready? I just opened my trunk if my car were here. It's not. Ready? I'm going to do it again. Now, that's one way to do it, or you could do it like this. Watch the video.
Here we watched a brief video clip from a Honda commercial, and you can find the link to that commercial underneath The Point on our website at mc3church.org. Simply click there underneath I Am Simple, and the link is there, and it'll take you to that video clip. Now we will resume at the conclusion of that clip.
So that was actually done, from what I understand, in, well, multiple takes, but none of that was edited. They had to keep recording, keep trying it, and eventually they had the final take where all of that happened. Nothing was changed with computers. But that is another way. Now, of course, they had the fancy trunk closerator. I don't have a fancy trunk closerator on my car. Actually, I do. The hydraulics are broken on my trunk, so if you do not hold it up, it will closerate right on your head. And as a matter of fact, a number of you have already been recipients of my trunk closerating on your head. But anyway, so that's one way to do it. you know, with that, which were all car parts there, or that. Okay, ready? That, or all that. So, or you can do the same thing with the mousetrap, set it and put it down, or do all this stuff. The point is, there are some things in life, many things in life, that can be done simply, and yet we tend to overcomplicate them. Sometimes overcomplicating is fun. I mean, I would have loved to, like, talk to a number of you, like, nerd people like me, and spend, like, 3 weeks building this massive Rube Goldberg thing in here that would have done one thing to the next thing. Of course, it would have inevitably have failed. And, of course, if you were here early enough, you got to see the OK Go video where they did one gigantic Rube Goldberg, which that's the name for these little things that this causes that to happen, that does this. So there's a five-minute video at the beginning, and you could see that. But the idea is that there are ways to overcomplicate things, and the church, in general, does a good job of overcomplicating things that should be simple as well. And so today I want to talk to you guys about this idea of being simple. The idea of simple. And here's the point that I want you to walk away with today when it comes to our core values, when it comes to us as people, and that is this: I am simple, so I want to make it uncomplicated for people to follow Jesus. Now, we will ignore currently the puns that were, you know, the inevitable statements of, oh, you're just simple, meaning you're dumb or daft or whatever. But we're just going to say simple in terms of simplicity and making things easy, making things uncomplicated. And, of course, there's a certain irony in the word uncomplicated that it is a very complicated word. But if you'll follow with me, the idea of being simple means you're not making it complicated for people to follow Jesus. Now, I want you to know something, and we'll come to this later. I am not saying easy, because easy is not the point of simple. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So if you hear me say easy, just kind of raise your hand, like throw a flag in the air if you happen to have a yellow football flag in your pocket. You can call me on that. I don't want to say easy. Sometimes that happens. But the idea of being uncomplicated. And this is based on a core value of our church. And, of course, our core values are available on our website at mc3church.org. And click on the About Us drop-down menu, and it has our core values there. And actually, if you go to the point series for IMMC3, there's a link right there for it. But here's the core value. The core value is called simplicity. This is not on the screen. But the core value that we have as a church, and our core values, like I've said every week now, they're kind of like our guardrails. The C3 process, community, congregation, caring, that's the vehicle. That's what gets us to becoming more devoted followers of Jesus, to being disciples of Jesus. But the core values are sort of the guardrails. They kind of keep us in check, keep us bouncing into the right, they're the boundaries that keep us going in the right direction. And this core value is simplicity. And it says this: it is easy for the church to overcomplicate the Christian message with too many programs and activities that pull people away from our primary job, following Christ. For this reason, we value keeping our programs and process simple and focusing on what we do best. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago, and if you've been here at all in the last, I don't know, year, 2 years, 3 years, we've talked over and over about what is the MC3 process, our vision, our way for making disciples. And it's that circle that we talked about. C1 is community. We think everybody should be involved in building relationships. And so we have designed one program around that, and that is prime groups. And so we want everybody at MC3 to be in a prime group. This is a small group that meets throughout the week so that you can develop relationships with other followers of Jesus. The second C, C2, is C3, process, MC3, community, congregation, caring, also Mifflin County Community Church, or MCCCC and all that stuff, but we're not going to do that. So the second C, so community is the first C. The second C is congregation. As you look in Scripture, the early church, the church is supposed to spend time together, worshiping together, and learning from the Word of God. And that's what this is. So we as a church have the worship experience on Sunday mornings. We don't have anything else. But we have it because we think it's important for believers to be together, followers of Jesus to be together and worship and learn and grow as a whole group. And then the third C is caring. And we feel, as you look at the church, as you look at what God has called us to do, we should be caring for one another and meeting needs. And so we have what we call C3 opportunities, which are ways for you to serve. There were like a pile of them over the weekend, different opportunities for you to help people move and do a bunch of other things going on. And there's, of course, some more things coming up. There's always stuff going on within prime groups and church-wide for you to be able to serve. And so we see this idea of caring as important, that we should be involved in that. And that's all that we do. We are simple on purpose, and I'm going to come back to this in a little bit, but we're simple on purpose because we are supposed to follow Jesus. That is what we are called to do. That is it. I mean, you know, there's a lot, that is it. There's a lot built into that, but I think the church, we can get overcomplicated. We get so busy doing so much stuff that we don't actually get to spend time growing in our relationship with Jesus, building relationships with people outside of the church. And so we're very on purpose about that. And again, we'll come back to that. But this idea of being simple is also a personal thing. It also means that, you know, there's so much junk in our lives. There's so many easier ways to do things, simpler ways to do things than developing this massive thing for a mousetrap when you can just set it and forget it. And so when it comes to our personal relationship with Jesus, we sometimes can get busy and overcomplicated and just worn out. And so I want to look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open. The lights are coming on. You can also go to the YouVersion app and click on, tap on Hebrews and tap on 12. And if you don't have the YouVersion app, it's a free app, YouVersion.com. You can download pretty much all the versions, translations of the Bible. Now, if you were here for our Word the Sequel series back in August where we did an overview of the New Testament, Hebrews, we don't know who wrote this book. It was written by somebody. And we talked about how the point of the book of Hebrews, the reason that this letter was written to Hebrew people, to Jewish people, was to tell the Jewish people that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is the Messiah. And so that's why it was written. And again, if you weren't here for that, you can listen to that online as well and download the handouts. But that's where we are. We're in Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to give you a little bit of a background here. The writer was just finishing talking about a huge list of followers of God throughout the Bible and how they lived by faith. If you grew up in church, you might have heard this called the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And actually, we did a series a couple summers ago called Heroes, where the elders and I walked through a bunch of those characters and looked at these different people in there. So the writer has just finished talking about these great followers of God, these great followers of Jesus, and how they have lived by faith and the different things that were able to happen. And so he begins the beginning of chapter 12 saying, therefore, since I have just talked to you about all these amazing followers of God, these people that have done crazy awesome things, some of them have died because of it, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, and that's what this he's referring to, since we're surrounded by such a great group of people that have lived by faith, now I want to talk to us. That's kind of what he's saying. I've talked about who they were. Now let's get personal here and talk about us. So he goes on and says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and the word witnesses is an interesting Greek word. It's martyrios. It means to martyr, to be a martyr. It's the same word for witness. And if you've heard the word someone being martyred for their faith, as someone that was killed because they followed Jesus or being killed, whatever faith it was, the word martyr means a lot of different things, or it works in a lot of different contexts. But that's the word here. So the writer is saying, because we're surrounded by all these martyrs, because we're surrounded by all these witnesses, these people that live by faith, now here's what you need to do. Here is what I need to do. Here's what we need to do. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the writer of Hebrews here is saying, you know, because of these people that in Hebrews 11 that did amazing things, here's how we can live. Here's what we need to do. And I want to propose to you that he is talking about being simple. He is talking about staying simple and seeking simplicity. And I'm not talking about, you know, moving off into a convent and living in like cloth diapers and nothing else. I don't know. I'm this idea of when it comes to following Jesus, I think we get too cluttered up with all the things we're supposed to do and the things that we are expected of us. And I just want to say, we're called to follow Jesus. And if you add anything to that, it essentially becomes legalism. It becomes rules. And you might feel personally that this is something I need to do. That's great. But if you take your something that you feel is important and force it on someone else, then you've missed it. It's not following Jesus. Then it's following, you know, if I say, hey, it's very important that whatever you do, you never sit in a yellow chair if you love Jesus. And if you start going like, oh, have a seat. Oh, sorry, act this yellow. You know, then you're not following Jesus. You're following Sean's rule about yellow chairs, which is weird. But anyway, so I want to look at this idea of seeking simple. The first thing that the writer of Hebrews says is that we need to throw off. We need to throw off. When it comes to following Jesus, we're looking at this running metaphor in the beginning of Hebrews here. He's talking about running a race, running with perseverance. And he says the first thing to do is throw off. And that's what he says there in verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. He says, throw off. Get rid of the stuff that is slowing you down. It's an interesting word if you've grown up in church world and heard the word tithing. Tithing means to set aside, to save for later. Well, this word is apotathemai, which means to not tithe. So instead of setting it aside for later, it's saying, throw off, get rid of. Get rid of these things that are slowing you down. If you're running a race, if you're a modern day athlete, I mean, dude, come on. If you're like a 50-yard dash dude, I mean, the guys are shaving their legs, they're shaving their heads, they're wearing shoes that have special coverings over the laces. They're wearing, at one point in the Olympics, they're wearing like those full body suits that covered their head. Because all of those things could slow you down by 1/1/100th of a second. And 1/100th of a second could be the difference between gold and bronze, or not even being a medal contender. And so they want to get rid of everything that would slow them down. That's what an athlete does. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, in this race, in this idea of following Jesus, this journey that we're on together, we need to get rid of the things that are slowing us down. Get rid of them. Throw them off. Push them away. Don't set them aside for later. Get rid of them. They're gone. And that's what a good athlete does. Now, I want to clarify some things, and we'll get into this. I'm going to be running in circles, no pun intended, about some of this. But when it comes to throwing off, he says not only throw off the things that hinder, we're looking at here some good things, but also throw off the sin that so easily entangles. And so he's talking about not only get rid of the things that are slowing you down, but get rid of the good things, but also get rid of the bad things. Get rid of the junk. There is sin in our lives, and we're trying to follow Jesus, and we're carrying along this sin parachute, or our legs are all trapped up in something, and we're trying to run like this and wondering, why am I not winning the race? Because you got sin on your legs, and you need to get out of it. But we're like, no, I don't want to get rid of that. That's fun. But why am I not winning the race? The writer is saying, get rid of that stuff. Throw it off. If there's something that's slowing you down, and if it's a good thing, but it's slowing you down, get rid of it. If it is sin, that's a bad thing. Get rid of it. You need to get rid of that. Stop whining, and we're going to come back to this. Stop whining about how, well, my life isn't as close to Jesus as I want it to be. It's because you're sitting around going, well, this sin is okay. And you're wondering why you're not getting anywhere, because your legs are all tangled up. You're not winning the race. And so that's what he says. The first thing he says is to throw off. And he says, throw off good things and bad things. There is nothing wrong with a little hair. There's nothing wrong with having hair. Some people have it, some people don't. Some people, if they took their shirt off right now, you'd be like, oh, that's where the hair is. and there's nothing sinful about having hair or not having hair. But a runner, an athlete, a swimmer, whatever, if they're competing, they're going to get rid of those extra things that are slowing them down. So they might shave their legs. They might shave their head. They might do those things, not because they're bad, but because they want to get rid of anything that might kind of slow them down. And, of course, on the other side of that, you know, an athlete that eats, I don't know, McDonald's fries every day, you know, that's a bad thing probably for them. It's probably a bad thing for all of us. Well, you guys all saw Super Size Me, right? It's a bad thing. And so that's something that you want to get rid of as well because it's bad for you. So that should be obvious. But the writer of Hebrews is just clarifying, look, if we're trying to run this race, if we're trying to move forward following Jesus to become more like him, if we're a follower of his, we need to start throwing some things off. And as a church, we're kind of doing the same thing. We don't want to add a million things so that you're here every day of the week. And again, we'll come back to this in a little bit. But we want to clarify, we want to clean out, get rid of the clutter so that you can focus on doing what we're called to do, so that we as a church can focus on what we're called to do and do it well. So the first thing he says is to throw off, to get rid of these things. And that's good things and bad things. And like I said, we'll come back to this a little bit in a few moments to talk about that a little bit more intensely. But I want you to get that. That when it comes to church, when it comes to what we do, when it comes to being an individual follower of Jesus, and of course, as a follower of Jesus, you are part of the church, not Mifflin County Community Church, but God's church. And when it comes to doing that, there are some things maybe we need to throw off. And I say maybe, because sometimes there's good things. We're like, well, is that slowing me down? If it's slowing me down, maybe we need to get rid of it. And if it's sin, it is slowing you down, and you do need to get rid of it. But that's the idea of being simple, of making this, getting rid of these things that are slowing us down. The second thing the author of Hebrews says is that we need to press on. And as I was studying this and preparing for this, and of course, I don't know, when did we put this series together? Was that like July? No, it couldn't have been August. It was too late for that. I think it was maybe last June. I looked at this idea of throwing off, and I'm like, yeah, of course, being simple, getting rid of all the things. But it was interesting as I'm reading and studying this past week, looking at how the writer is saying, look, you're running a race, and so get rid of all the things that are slowing you down. And my initial thought is, oh, well, if you get rid of everything that's slowing you down, you're going to win. You're good to go. You're done. If you get rid of all the sin, which we know we're not perfect, we're never going to get rid of all the sin, but at the same time, we probably shouldn't be carrying it around like it's a pet. But if we're going to get rid of those things, we should be good. But he doesn't say, throw off all these things and you're going to win. He says, throw off all these things and press on, which just kind of shocked me. So as he goes on, he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. And this word perseverance, I mean, we know to persevere, to endure, to keep going, to press on. So he's saying that, look, in following Jesus, in living the life that God has called us to, in running this race, first of all, we need to get rid of the stuff that's slowing us down. If you need to catch a mouse, don't waste all your time with this. It's slowing you down. Get the simple thing. If you're trying to open your trunk, push the button, okay? It's a little bit simpler. And then, he says, once you've gotten rid of that stuff, press on. Keep going. And we'll come back to this in a little bit, but the thing is here, this is implying that simple is not easy. That following Jesus might be something that is simple to do, but not easy to accomplish. Because the author of Hebrews feels like he needs to say to us, keep going, press on, don't give up, persevere, run the race, keep going, press on, persevere, endure. You can do this. I mean, they're cheering in the stands. And maybe if Justin and Steph were here, I would have loved to force them to come up and do a cheer for us, you know? But that's the idea. Like, go, you can do this. And that's what the author is saying. Let us run with perseverance. Don't get rid of this stuff and then be like, oh, I don't know. Just run. Run to win. Run to move. Run to get to the end. And the end for us is, you know, death or when Jesus returns. And don't get to the end and be like, eh. He says, run to be strong. Run well. So at the end of your life, you're like, yeah. And of course, Paul said, I've fought the fight. I've run the race. Like he talks about this idea, I have done it at the end of his life. And, you know, is that what we want our lives to be? A place where we're like, yeah, I can do this. So he says, run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And then the third thing here, so we've got to throw off the stuff that's slowing us down, the good things and the bad things. Press on, keep going. And then the third thing he says is look up. And I love this part. Because here he's not just saying, like, suck it up, man. Get rid of your stuff that's slowing you down and spit. Get rid of the stuff that's slowing you down and just deal with it. Keep going. But it's hard. I don't care. Ugh.
go!
You know, I mean, he's not talking like some Marine drill sergeant. And of course, even Marine drill sergeants have a point. He's not just some mean dad or awful ogre of like a slave master or something. He says, you need to press on. And you might be going, I've gotten rid of this stuff. How can I keep going? It's hard. Living for Jesus is hard. And the author of Hebrews knows that. I don't know who it was. It might have been Paul. It might have been someone else. But he's going, yeah, I know. And that's why we need to press on. But look, we're not just pressing on just because you need to suck it up and dig deep and find it inside of you. And rah! He says, you can press on because you're not alone. You can press on. You can endure because this thing, you're not on your own in it. He goes on and says, as you press on, as you run with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Focusing on Jesus. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. It was Jesus' idea. He started, he finished the whole idea of our salvation, of our hope. He died on the cross. He took away our sins. He is the beginning and the end of the whole deal. And he says that for the joy set before him, that Jesus went to the cross and looked at it as a joyful thing. Not because he was some sort of crazy psycho man. Not because he loved pain, some kind of masochist. He saw what the cross and the horrible pain that he went through, he realized what it would accomplish. He understood that by his death on the cross, we would have freedom. That his death on the cross would mean that we are just, well, as one of the videos said, you know, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. By his death on the cross, we are able to have hope for eternity. And so it says, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned its shame. He went, like that. That would probably, unless you translate it to Hebrew, which means something different, I'm sure. But is what Jesus said to the cross. Forget how shameful or humiliating it was, which it was, hanging naked on a cross, waiting to die, suffering a punishment that you didn't deserve because he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't have any sin that tripped him up. The thing that hung him to the cross was our sin that tripped him up. He scorned its shame and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is just a sign, like the right hand, sorry lefties, but throughout Scripture, the right hand was a symbol of strength. The right hand was a symbol of strength and power. And it was a sign of, you know, if someone is using their right hand, it's using their strength, their strong arm. And so for someone to sit down at the right hand meant that they were sitting in the seat of honor. They were sitting in the position that was meant for not just any average person, but for the right-hand man. You might have heard that expression. For the person that was right there with him. And so Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, understanding that. And so the writer says, as you're persevering, as you're fixing your eyes on Jesus, as you're focusing on him, and not all the other distractions, not all the other stuff that's going to slow us down, he says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. Jesus went through way more of a hell on earth than you ever will. But you don't know my circumstance. I don't know your circumstance. And I guarantee no one has pulled you out, ripped your clothes off, humiliated you publicly, lied about you, and then the government trials came in and they hung you on a cross till you could not breathe any longer and then died naked there. Yeah, I guess that speeding ticket wasn't quite that bad. Jesus has been through a lot. He says, consider him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He's saying, look, you need to press on, but look up. Because Jesus has been there first. Jesus will get you through. No matter how hard or awful it is, no matter how challenging this race is, let's get rid of the junk. But press on and you can look and say, Jesus did it. And Jesus is there cheering you on. Jesus is there saying, I know that's kind of shallow, I guess. But that's the idea that Jesus is saying, you can do this. Push on. Press on. Endure. Persevere. Keep going. Because Jesus went through that for you. And you look at him and say, he managed it. And he is with you. If you are a follower of Jesus, God's Holy Spirit is living in you. and is able to say, you can do this. Press on. Keep going. And that's it. That's how it comes down to living our life, running this race that we call following Jesus. It's simple. Look at Jesus. Well, what about, look at Jesus. Okay, yeah, following Jesus. Jesus is doing this, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. If you're following Jesus, if you're a disciple, you're going to do what your master does. Okay, Jesus was caring for people. Okay, I'm going to do that. Jesus was worshiping God. Okay, I'm going to do that. Jesus was building relationships with people. Okay, I'm going to do that. But what about my thing? No. Don't distract over here, because as soon as you start getting distracted, you start losing the focus, and you start going off course. And all of a sudden, you're getting tripped up because you're over here in the weeds wondering what's going on. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on Him. And it's simple. It's simple. Follow Jesus. Get rid of the junk. So seeking simple looks like this. It means throwing off, pressing on, and looking up. So I want to, I'm going to show a video clip here in just a moment that probably many of you have seen it before. If you're in a Prime group, you've heard bits and pieces of this through the DVDs that you guys are going through right now, the It series. But this is a guy, Craig Rochelle, who's speaking at a leadership summit conference, talking about why their church is simple. And I want to share just some things before we get into that and talk about just MC3. I mean, and we'll come back to how it looks for us as individuals. But MC3, I mean, we are on purpose a simple church. This is one of the things that has guided us as we developed MC3. We don't have Awana. But don't you love kids? Absolutely. Have you been upstairs? Don't you care about families? Yes, we do. Have you taken an ATU pack home? Well, why don't you have Awana? You must not love Jesus. Sorry, you must have gotten us on that one. Yeah, we don't have an evening service. Why don't you do that? Because we want to focus on doing one thing and doing it well. We don't have prayer meeting. Well, don't you believe in prayer? We love prayer. But we don't have prayer meeting. We don't run a vacation Bible school. There's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of money and a lot of effort. And we're like, please, please help us. Please help us run this thing for 1 week. I would rather say, you know what? Give us 1 week a month and let's do something that matters in the lives of the kids. I mean, there's just so many things. We don't have, can I just ask a totally question right now? You got to be real with me. If you rode a motorcycle here this morning, raise your hand. Come on. I know there's more than one of you. Come on. There's one. Yeah, I know. Is that just three of you? Come on. I know there's more. There's a hand there. Okay. All right. Because I know there's a bike ride planned this afternoon, but it's not part of our motorcycle ministry because we don't have one. We don't care about bikers. No. But the point is we aren't doing all those things because we want to focus on God has called us to do three things. Community, congregation, caring. And we want to do those three things and do them well. And so we invest lots of time, lots of money into those three things. And the cool thing is that as long as you're coming together to worship, which we love for you to be a part of that on the worship experience Sunday mornings, if you're in a Prime group during the week, we don't ask you to be here for anything else. I mean, if you serve on a ministry team, there's probably meetings or rehearsals or things like that. But you're not expected to be in here. You're expected to be out there. Building relationships, sharing with people about Jesus, telling them what it's like to follow Him. So we as a church are simple on purpose. And then, of course, this C3 process, it's also reflected in our kids, in our MC3 family ministry. In Ignition, of course, the kids are in here with us during the worship time, the music time. And then they have a part of their rotation upstairs in Ignition called Prime Time, where they have a small group time where they're in the group with their age grade, however that works, with their grade, that every week they're discussing the point. And they're learning, by the way, the same exact thing that you're learning in here right now. And because we wanted to build that. And we're launching MC3 Student next week. You're going to hear way more about it next week. But, yes, finally. But once we're done with that, that's going to have the same C3 process built in. And then we're done. We're not adding anything else. Don't you have a senior citizen ministry? We don't really have any senior citizens, so no. Don't you have a, picket? We don't have those things. Where's your ladies' Bible study? Well, we hope ladies are studying the Bible. And we hope that they're involved in Prime groups. And we think that that will accomplish those goals together. So there's a lot of things we don't do, and we do that on purpose. It's not because we don't care. It's not because we're lazy, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. It's because we want to be focused and do a few things well. So here's Craig Rochelle talking about how his church, he's a pastor of a church in the state above Texas, Oklahoma, and shares about some of what they do and how they're simple and kind of their process. So watch this video, and then we'll wrap things up.
At this spot during the point, we watched a video from Craig Rochelle recorded at the Willow Creek Leadership Summit, where he shares about his church's journey to become simpler, removing some extra programs that were becoming a distraction as they shared the message of Christ. You can find this video clip right below the point on our website at mc3church.org. Look for I Am Simple, and just below the audio portion, there's a link there where you can watch the video. We will now pick up at the conclusion of that video.
So yeah, there's just a quick taste of what they did for being simple. And it's part of who we are as a church. We are doing this on purpose. There's a lot of things we don't do. And I'll tell you what is really cool is seeing how many people at MC3 are involved in serving here. And the nice thing is that it's not if you sign up to be involved and to serve here at MC3, then it's going to cost you every day of your month and maybe a child or two. But the idea to be able to say that you can serve because we don't want you to be here all the time. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you get that? Because it's about being simple. And so as a church, there's a lot of things we don't do. And I've had people say, well, what about this idea? And I'm like, that's cool, but that's not who we are. That's not our vision. We want to stay focused on these things. And we say this, and I've said it before, if this isn't your kind of thing for church, we're okay with that. There's plenty of churches that are doing a lot of things, and some of them do a lot of things and do those things really well. But for us, this is who we are, and we're able to stay focused on that and put our resources and energy in that. And in our elders' meetings, the C3 process is our agenda. And we've had, we're looking at what if we about do this idea, and usually one of the guys will say, well, how does that fit within our C3 process? And sometimes we say, oh, this is how it fits. Cool, let's go for it. Other times we said, that doesn't fit, and we drop it because we want to be simple. We want to get people not spending time spinning their wheels, literally and figuratively, but able to do what God has called us to do and to serve in that way and to build relationships with other people. And if you're here all the time sitting listening to me, you're not building any relationships with other people. If you're in the building Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Tuesday night, you're not out meeting new people. I mean, frankly, half of the people in this room are not here because they heard about our cool building. They're here because someone else near you spent some time with you outside of this building and said, hey, you should come and check out our church. And we want to keep that going. So we keep things simple, which we want to keep make it not complicated for people to follow Jesus. However, I will say some things about simple and what it looks like kind of back down to the individual level, what it looks like for us as people. Because we can add junk and stuff and think, oh, I am really spiritual because I am here all the time. And, being here all the time doesn't make you a better follower of Jesus. Having a bigger Bible doesn't make you a better follower of Jesus. Putting IMMC3 as your Facebook profile picture doesn't make you a better follower of Jesus. There's nothing bad about that, but they don't make you. So let me move on here. So some things that are not so simple. The first thing about staying simple and staying focused on this is that simple means saying no to good things. And I need you to understand that, especially if you have an idea or if people talk about church stuff or even individual things. Sometimes we have to say no to things that are good, because there's something that we're staying focused on what we need to do, and we have to say no. If we're focused on that, we're going to have to say no to this thing over here. A couple months ago, we did a series called Start Cheating. And on Mother's Day, I talked about this passage in Luke chapter 10, where Mary and Martha are meeting with Jesus. Jesus is coming over. And Martha is spending all this time getting the house ready and cleaning up and making it a great place for Jesus to be and spend time as an honored guest. He's Jesus, the Son of God, is showing up at her house. And she's doing all this stuff. And then Mary comes and spends time just kind of sitting by Jesus and listening to it. And Martha gets really frustrated and says, Jesus, what's up with this? I'm busy working. You're the honored guest. And we're giving you the best. We've got the nice furniture out. We've got the good silverware. I'm doing all this stuff because you're here. And you're not saying anything to my sister who's just sitting around listening. And this is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 10. He says, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. See, Jesus, Martha wasn't doing anything bad, just that Mary had chosen something better. Mary had said no to some good things so that she could sit and listen and learn from Jesus. And that's what it means for us. Sometimes staying simple means we have to say no to good things, to stay focused on what God has called us to do as a church and what God has called us to do as individuals. And there are a lot of good things. And sometimes, and we ask you guys, if you're serving in a ministry team here at MC3, to read what matters most. Because sometimes you have to say no to serving Jesus in church so that you can say yes to spending some time with your family because you haven't done that. And that's the priority before serving at church. So, sometimes it means saying no to good things. The second thing is that simple means not making excuses. The writer of Hebrews says, get rid of the things that are slowing you down. Get rid of the sin that is tangling you up. And we're saying, well, why can't I do this? Why is it not going well? It's because you're busy dealing with sin. And I'm not saying trying to get over sin and get past it and get through. And, you know, there's a lot of that. Yes, it's hard. It's a struggle. But I think there's a lot of us, too, that are like, these sins are all really bad. And I don't do those things, but I do this sin. That's okay. I have never had an affair. But gossip's not that big of a deal. So I'm cool because I haven't done this thing over here. You know, hey, I am so nice to the people that I see in stores. I am the best, like if a waitress or waiter, they love me. It doesn't really matter what I post when I'm just saying online. That's okay. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Like we've got these things that are okay. You know, I've never been with a prostitute, but it's okay that I'm involved in porn. Like, these things are okay, and we've got this mentality, and it's time to stop making excuses. If we're being simple, it needs to stop making excuses. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in Luke chapter 6, and they're saying about how, well, he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank, a giant chunk of wood in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you fail yourself to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrites! First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The writer of Hebrews is saying, if you want to win the race, if you want to run with endurance, and you're wondering, why can't I get anywhere? It's because you got sin tangling you up, and you need to stop making excuses about it. Get rid of the stuff in your own eye. Deal with it. Then come to me. Then say, Pastor, can we meet? I'm really having a hard time. What's wrong? Well, things aren't going so well. What does that mean? And then we get into this like, oh, there's a sin here that you're not really willing to address or to talk about because that one's okay. But at least I'm not like them or doing that other thing. And Jesus is saying, take the plank out of your own eye. The writer of Hebrews is saying, if you're slowing down, it's because you got stuff slowing you down. Get rid of it. And I'm not saying it's not easy. Or I'm not saying it's always easy to do that. I'm not saying you're perfect and that we can never mess up. But do you see a distinction here between saying sin is bad? And we're going to talk about this in a couple months in the series we're doing on Hosea. And this idea of saying sin is bad, but are we willing to say sin is bad except this sin isn't? Or I'm okay with this one. Or God's cool with that one. Like, that's the idea here, is that we need to stop making excuses. If we're going to run with endurance, we need to get rid of the stuff that's slowing us down. If we're busy saying, look how bad they are, and you've got a massive problem with this plank of wood in your own eye, it's time to take that out. Then you can start talking about the bits of dust in the other people's eyes. So, being simple means, it means saying no to good things. It means not making excuses. And the last thing, and this kind of summarizes what I've been saying all along, simple does not mean easy. This is much simpler than this. And yet neither of these have caught a mouse in the last year. It still takes some work. You have to bait the trap. The bait is gone. Anyway, I got one, no. But it doesn't mean it's easy. And And following Jesus, we want to be simple as a church. We want to be simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy. It's going to take work. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, persevere, press on. And sometimes I think this is the risk that we have as a church to say, oh, we're a simple church. Simple sometimes means, well, we're a simple church, so I'm just going to be lazy. And that is not the answer at all. Simple doesn't mean easy. Simple means we're getting rid of the extra clutter so we can focus on doing what we do well. So that you're getting rid of the extra clutter so you can focus on following Jesus. But it doesn't mean following Jesus is easy. If it was easy, the writer of Hebrews would not have said to persevere, to press on, to endure, to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It is not easy. And this is what Jesus said, just in case you're like, well, maybe it's going to be easy. He said in John chapter 16, he said, I've told you these things. So in me, he's talking about all the stuff he's been teaching. So that in me you may have peace. This is super encouraging. I've shared this passage with you before. Jesus is talking to his disciples and said, in this world you will have trouble. It is going to be hard. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, the writer of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Because he has gone through it all and he has come through victorious. But Jesus is being real. We'll talk about authenticity in a couple weeks. Jesus is being straight up real. It's going to be hard. Following me is not easy. Being simple is good, but being simple is not easy. It's going to require work. You can say, well, I go to MC3, they're simple. What does that mean? It means I don't know how to do nothing. It's great. I come in on Sunday morning, and I sit, and then I leave. We're a simple church. Yeah. No, it's going to mean if you're part of MC3, you're going to get your butt out of the seat once in a while and serve. You're going to be involved in working with Ignition. You're going to be involved in helping with primaries, with MC3 students, because it's required. You're going to be involved in cleaning. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are needed to be done to pull off what we do, and it's going to be hard work sometimes. It's going to mean committing to a meeting that you don't really want to be at. It's going to be showing up for a rehearsal that it's, well, you know, I'd really prefer to be at home. It's going to mean going to an elders meeting when the Giants are playing. It's what it's going to mean. Although the Giants played this past Thursday night and looked pretty good. But anyway, that's what it's going to mean. It might mean missing a Penn State game to help someone move. It doesn't mean it's easy. Simple doesn't mean easy. And Jesus said in 2 Timothy, Paul's talking to Timothy, and we actually looked at this passage a couple weeks ago, but he says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer. If you're doing it right, it's going to be hard. So we need to get that, and we need to be willing to say, okay, this is hard. I'm getting rid of the clutter. I'm getting rid of the stuff that's slowing me down. I'm getting rid of the sin, but even still, it's going to be a race. It's going to be something you have to run with endurance. Because even the best athletes eventually slow down. Because it's hard. It's hard to keep going. So simple, those are some things just in terms of being simple. It means saying no to good things. It means stop making excuses. And it does not mean that it's easy. So simple means we want to make it uncomplicated for people to follow Jesus. As an individual, what do you need to get rid of so that you can focus on following Jesus? Because that's what it's all about. It's simple. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your example to us. That as we seek to follow you and there's junk that we know we need to get rid of, some of those are good things that we need to say no to. Some of those are clearly bad sin things that we're holding on to that we need to get rid of. But even still, it's going to be hard. And I thank you that you're our example, that we can follow you who went all the way to the cross and did it understanding there was something greater in store. And I pray that we would be able to endure and live this race of life, live this journey that we're on as followers of Jesus, so that we can finish the race and say, so you would say to us, well done, that we have won, that we have made it through to the end. I pray that you would help us through the problems in between. Help us have the wisdom to get rid of the good things and to keep the good things that we need to keep. And then give us the strength and the guts to be able to get rid of some sin perhaps we've been coddling and protecting and ignoring, so that we can move forward and follow you, and help us to keep our eyes focused on you. You're the one that matters. We pray this in your name. Amen.